make a decision. What I'm going to ask you today, and I'm going to present three different things, three different opportunities for you to be able to make a decision. And I'm going to ask that you choose to make a decision in one of these areas today, because I know God will bless you for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Sometimes the gap between where we want our life to be and where it is can feel like the size of the Grand Canyon. The gap can be just so large, it can almost be discouraging more than encouraging, because it feels like any even little small change that you make, because you're so far away from the destination, that it's too hard to reach. So a lot of times we do nothing instead of something because we're like, man, it's just so far off. Amen? I pray that this message is going to leave you clarity in your life and an opportunity to correct your course if you need correcting this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Life is shaped by decisions. It's shaped by decisions. The right choice in the moment can alter the direction of our lives. Amen? Anybody believe that this morning?
Yeah.
Look, we make a lot of decisions, and some of them are life-changing decisions. So today we're going to look at three decisions that can be transformational. Here's the first one. The first one is having faith that won't flinch. Amen? Amen. That's a decision you can make this morning. You can make a decision to say you're going to have faith that won't flinch. We're going to Matthew, the 14th chapter, and we're going to start at the 10th verse. But I'm going to give you kind of like the backstory to this. So John the Baptist was in prison. That's his Jesus cousin, right? He's in prison. And the king at the time allegedly didn't want to behead John the Baptist, but he did anyway, right? He said, man, I really don't want to do this, but because somebody wanted him to do it, he decided to do it. So we're going to read the 10th verse. It says, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, right? Verse 11 says, and his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came, took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. See, the reason why I said this is faith that won't flinch is because this had to be a devastating moment for all of the believers around. Yeah. Amen? The fact that Jesus' cousin is not only in prison, now he's beheaded, is unbelievable at the time. So if you're a follower of Jesus, think about it. You're a follower of Jesus. You're supposed to believe at this point, like, Jesus, I love you. I know you can do anything. You got to be thinking like, man, but why didn't you save your cousin then? Right? Why didn't you save him? And so John was he was a great prophet. He baptized Jesus. He did a lot of the things correctly in his life, but yet he was beheaded. And Jesus got this news from his disciples, and he went off to mourn. He went off to mourn. He got in a boat and left. And what happened next was unbelievable. The people followed Jesus. Amen?
Right.
They followed him. They had a choice in that moment. Their faith could have been so affected that they said, you know what? I don't know about this Jesus thing. But in that moment, they decided to make a choice and say, you know what? I'm going to believe Jesus anyway. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to believe that he still is a healer. I'm going to believe he's still a deliverer. I'm going to still believe he was sent from God. Sometimes things happen in our lives that we don't understand, and it calls our faith into question sometimes. We start to wonder, and we start to, because we don't understand, we say, why is this happening? You have a choice when something bad happens to you to have faith that won't flinch. Amen?
All right.
You have a choice to have faith, and, you know, the thing that happened was they followed Jesus, and they were rewarded for it because he went to a desert, a deserted place, essentially, right? He went to a deserted place. There was no food, no provision, and that's where he, you know, fed the multitude, amen?
Amen.
Amen. Their faith was rewarded, but sometimes we stop and we don't continue to move when we have tragedy that comes upon us, amen?
Uh-huh.
We lose your job, or your marriage falls apart, or whatever it is. A lot of times those things challenge our faith, but it is an opportunity for us to have faith that won't flinch, amen?
Amen.
Sometimes our faith is our lack of faith in situations, and the reason why I flinch, because a lot of times we don't feel worthy to be able to do the calling or the thing that we want to do. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we don't feel worthy, whether it's something that we did or whatever we think our skill set is or whatever the case may be. Sometimes we won't move forward like we should because we're like, look, man, I'm not worthy. And if we move forward, God will fill in all the blanks that we need. Amen? Amen. I'm going to give you a real life example of this. This is a pitcher. His name is Jim Abbott. He's a Major League Baseball player, was a Major League Baseball player in the late 80s, early 90s. And he was born without a hand. One of his hands is missing. In the glove, you see, when he goes to pitch, he has his arm behind his back ready to pitch. And he has a glove on his, what is not a hand. And then once he throws the ball, he has to shift it and put the glove on just in case the ball gets hit back to him. Now, you're born without a hand. You want to play Major League Baseball? That sounds impossible. That sounds impossible, just to be honest. I mean, listen, it sounds like the thing that you're like, look, man, pick something else, right? But this shows how God can take a situation if you have enough faith to keep on moving. Because remember, at every level, you're not making a decision as a player whether or not you're going to play. So every decision, there's a coach that you're going to, like, think about Little League. He shows up at Little League, and they're like, oh, let me get this straight. You want to play baseball. And he was born like this, and you're missing a hand. So he has to have a coach that says, you know what, I'm going to give him an opportunity to be able to do this. Because guess what? You can say, I'm the coach. I do not want on my watch this ball to come back at you. You can't defend yourself, and all of a sudden somebody's going to have a problem with it. So no, son, you cannot play baseball. So he had to go through that. He had to go through high school. He had to be prove himself on every level to be able to make it to the major leagues. But he had faith that would not flinch. Whatever you think it is that's stopping you or hindering you, God can fill in the gap. If he can have a guy pitching at the highest level of baseball with no hand, he surely can bless you this morning. Right. Amen. 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 Listen, this is a really honest moment for me. To be honest, look, I'm going to be honest with you, and this is going to, I hope I don't sound like a jerk by saying this, but listen, I sound better singing than I used to. Amen. I'm being honest. I do. Listen, I sound better than I used to. Right? I'm not saying I'm ready for no road show, but I understand that I'm getting better, and a lot of it is because of just perseverance.
That's right.
Because I said, you know what, God, I'm going to do the thing that I don't feel like I'm good at because I believe you're worthy for me to sing praises to you. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. So I know you're worthy, and even though I don't feel like my voice is worthy to be able to do so, I'm going to do it anyway. Right? And you got to push through. Amen? So the reality of it is, your situation, wherever you feel like you're lacking, God will fill in the blanks. But you got to have faith that doesn't flinch. You have to push through. You have to make, you know, today was probably the first time I sang without talking negative about myself before I started, just so you don't think I think I can sing. So I normally would start out like, look, man, you already know. Right? But today I didn't do that. I just started singing. You know what I mean? And so I'm not saying that is miraculous. What I'm saying is you still have to push, even if you don't feel worthy, even if you don't feel talented enough, even if you don't feel whatever it is you feel, your faith cannot flinch this morning. So you might have an area of your life that you've been struggling with. It's time to restore your faith in that area. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, the interesting part about this, not this picture per se, but what happened later on in the 14th chapter of Matthew, right? So I want you to go down to verse 28, right? It says, Jesus was walking on water, right? So before I read, Jesus was left the boat, and, you know, Peter's like, look. I mean, all the disciples were scared. They're like, what's happening here? They didn't know if it was Jesus or not. And so in verse 28, it says, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come on thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So I want you to think about that. So Peter was in the ship, and he was able to walk on the water just because Jesus said so. Amen. But I want you to see what happened in verse 30. It says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink, and he cried, saying, Lord, save me. See, and this leads us to the second thing that we're going to be covering, and that is you have to stay the course. You have to make a decision to stay the course. So if you have faith without flinching, then the next step of that in your journey is being able to stay the course. Now, Jesus, man, he was tough. I'm not going to hold you up. This is a tough moment because Peter had enough faith to actually say, Lord, if it's you, I'm going to walk. The wind starts shaking. So Peter got scared. He started to sink. And God, Lord, Jesus picked him up like, oh, ye of little faith.
Right.
You know, it's like, man, but I came out here. Jesus don't care nothing about that. You got to keep going. Right? Even though the other people, you might look back and you want to compare yourself like, they didn't even get out the boat. At least I got out the boat, God. You know, God don't care nothing about that.
Yeah.
You got to walk your walk. You got to stay the course.
Amen.
Because you're running your race. You're not running somebody else's. You're running yours.
Yeah.
And so, if you start comparing yourself to people you don't want their results, you're going to be in trouble anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you have to stay the course. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And, you know, Galatians 6 and 9, if you turn to that, it says, I have it up here for you. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we not faint. Listen, you cannot get tired of doing the right thing. You have to keep going. Even when the outcome looks bleak, even when you don't understand, even though, like, God can come to you and tell you to do something. But if enough time passes, you'll start to quit. You go from, I knew it was God, to like, man, I don't know if this was God. You know, because some years pass and you ain't seen what has happened. But you have to stay the course.
Amen.
Your life requires it.
Right.
And when you do, you will see a breakthrough that comes in. You know, my this is another moment that I might sound like a jerk, so I'm sorry if I do. But my wife and I, you know, if you've been in our house, you know, we have a nice house, right? We do. And I'm proud of our house. I'm happy about the house that we live in. But I'm going to tell you, it wasn't an easy house to be able to get. We had to stay the course. We were looking at houses and praying and sending postcards to people seeing if they want to sell their house. And the neighborhood we stay in is 13 houses. And we went, there was a house that we were going to buy in the neighborhood. That was that I just could not get past the price of the house. So I'm like, man, listen, I'm holding firm. I'm not going up a dollar. And the house, we didn't get it. And, you know, my wife was kind of bummed out because she wanted to live in that neighborhood. I'm like, look, we ain't restricted to that neighborhood. We serve a God that can bless us in any neighborhood, right? So I'm like, you know, and I'm pretty bummed out. So I'm like, you know what? We're going to put our house up for sale. And look, we just gonna trust God that by moving, now we're gonna do it. Now, I know that's against most of your needs. Most of you probably say, you know what? I am going to sit and I'm gonna wait on God and I'm gonna hear Him. I don't have that gene. I'm just gonna be honest. I'm more of a mover, right? So I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna say, God, I know you're gonna work it out, and I'm gonna move.
Amen.
Right? So when they say, oh, you just stand when you don't know what you stand, I'm walking. Right? Now, I'm not saying I'm right. I'm just telling you how I am. Right? And so we put the house up for sale, and a house in that neighborhood that my wife wanted to live in came up. And we were able to get the house because we stayed the course. Amen? Listen, your life, you're going to be hit with all kind of things that you get challenged with. You're going to have disappointment, and you're going to make mistakes, not to mention our house was like $300,000 more than the other house, so we, you know, it cost something now. I ain't gonna act like not moving the first time didn't mean anything. It cost something. But the reality of it is, we still stay the course. And you know what? Sometimes we're gonna make mistakes, and God will still fill in the gap. Amen?
Yes.
Amen.
I wanna give you an example, a real world example of somebody actually. What happened when they did not stay the course? So this is Florence Chadwick. In 1952, she set out to swim the English Channel. Amen? It was 26 miles from Catalina Island to California. After 16 hours of it, thick fog rolled in, and she couldn't see what was going on. So she's like, look, pull me up out of the boats, right? Pull me up. When she got pulled up, she was only a half mile away from her destination. Wow. A half mile. Can you imagine? You've been in the water 16 hours, but you can't see. You don't know what's going on. And our lives are a lot like that because we cannot see the destination. Right. We get off course. We go do something new. We go do the new thing because we're like, man, I don't know. I can't see where I'm going. You have to stay the course. You get a decision to be able to make today, to be able to do the thing that you're supposed to be doing and keep on doing, even though you don't know how it's going to work out. Amen? Amen. Now, when she got pulled up, the first thing she says, man, I would have kept going if I could see that I was only a half mile away. I could have made it. I wasn't too tired, but I thought it was a lot further away from my destination. You are closer to your destination than you think. You might not be able to see it, but you are closer to your destination than you think. It might look foggy, it might look crazy, it might look impossible, your credit might not be where it want to be, and all this other stuff. You can get all these reasons to get off course. I know a God who can change your situation in an instant.
Yes, sir.
He can change your situation. Yes. He can move a mountain for you, and he will move a mountain for you. Amen?
Amen.
He will. But a lot of times we don't feel worthy. We can't see. It's foggy. We're tired. We don't understand. We want to rest. We want to move. You got to move forward. You got to stay the course. Amen. You have to. It is imperative that we do that. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And we got to give God something to work with. We want everything from God. Give him nothing to work with. We're like, God, I want you to do everything. I want to do nothing.
Right.
All right?
Right.
That's what happens. We're like, look, God, if it's you, and you really want me to go to work today, make it, hey, make the rain stop, Lord. I'll know it's you, and I'll go in. Then go to work. Stay the course. Right? You want God to do something miraculous to prove to you he got. He don't need to do no trick for you. He got. He got. You know, but we want something without doing something all the time. You have to stay the course. Look, business, I'm saying, once a month, business don't look good for me and my wife. Once a month, either one of us, we just like, oh my goodness, what in the world are we doing? Once a month. And thank God it don't happen at the same time. You know, like, she might be in a mood like that, and I'm like, man, you tripping. We got this. And then 3 days later, I'm like, ah. We don't got this. She's like, man, you tripping. We got this. Right? You have to stay the course. Because you know what keeps me engaged, honestly, even when it looks bleak? I'm like, man, God, you have done too much already for me to get off course.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like, you done too much. Every month, there is some tragedy that we got to deal with. And God makes it triumphant. Amen?
Yes. Amen.
And we've gotten so used to it. My wife said to me the other day, she said, you know what? We got to do this thing. I can't remember exactly what it is. I don't want to misquote her because she'll be telling me, oh, that ain't what happens. I don't want to misquote her. There's this thing that we're supposed to do. And she's like, you know what? We're going to do it. And the next thing to come up, we'll just find a way to do the next thing, because we always find a way to do the next thing, because we do. Amen? Because God is blessing our faithfulness, not because, not a church thing. It's our livelihood. God cares about your livelihood. You think God know your boss at work ain't terrible? You think God don't know that? But you still got to stay the course. Right? You think God can move a mountain? You think he can't move a person? Amen.
Yes.
But you have to stay the course. See, we don't want to do our part. We like, you know what? I ain't doing nothing then. I'm just sitting here. I've been working hard. You don't want to recognize me. I'm just saying, I ain't going to do nothing. And then you ain't going to get nothing. You're not. You have to stay the course. You have to do your part in spite of other people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You got to move in spite of other people. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's talk about decision number three. some of us need to make a decision to return.
That you
take your, I got it up here, but I know some of you, like this man, can't help himself. So Luke 15 and 11. We're going to start there. And we're going to be talking about the prodigal son here, right? But this is about a return to God. So I'm going to read you 15 and 11. It says, and he said, a certain man, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto him his living. Right? And then in verse 13 he says, and not many days after, the young son gathered everything together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance on riotous living. So the younger son, he wanted independence, right? And he wanted some instant gratification. So he took his inheritance early, which was disrespectful, really. It's a disrespectful act in that culture. He thought life would be better away from the father's house. Some of you have strayed away from your father's house, amen? Some of you have made some decisions that aren't like the things that your father would like you to do. And sometimes we drift away from God because sometimes it's easier to drift away. Sometimes it's even better, you know, in the short term, for sure. You're like, man, this is a relief, right? And so the younger son did that. And then let's look at verse 14. It says, and when he had spent all, and there arose a mighty famine in the land, and it began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent into his fields to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. See, a famine hit, and he didn't see that coming. That's what happened. He ended up feeding pigs, which was the lowest and one of the most humiliating jobs you could have. Amen? Right. And he was so desperate at the time, he considered eating the pig food. Mm-hmm. So think about it. He left his father's house because he wanted independence so bad. He left. He fell on his face. Something happened that he didn't see coming. And his life fell apart. Amen? You know, the easy way always under-delivers. It does. Like, the thing that seems easy, it never comes. It's never happened like it's supposed to happen. Amen?
Amen.
It does not. Now, I want you to look at verse 17. This is like the decision point. He made a decision. He said, I covered up. His decision in verse 17, it says, today, I'm going to read it, I think. All right, verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread and enough to spare, and I will perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against thee and before thee, and no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as thy hired servant. See, he made a decision at that point. I'm going back to my father. I'm going back. My father's servants living better than I do. So he made the decision to go home. Some of you need to make a decision this morning to go home. Life has not been how it's supposed to be for you. It didn't turn out how you wanted it to turn out. And you have to make the decision to do something different, right? Now, you have to humble yourself. It says he came to himself like, look, man, wake up. I got to do something different, man. I got to go back. It had to be humiliating. When you leave and you step out, you're like, man, I got this. And then come to realize you don't really have it. But here's what I love about verse 20. It says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Your father's waiting to kiss you this morning. He's waiting to do what he's got to do. He's waiting to do what he's got to do. He's waiting for you to move in a direction to be able to love him, to be able to return home, to be able to do the thing that he called you to do. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But you got to make that decision. Maybe you run off too far. Maybe you got some things. She says, uh-oh. Right? Uh-oh. Yeah. Maybe you've done something that you shouldn't have done. But it's not too late to return home. You can return to God this morning.
Amen.
I know it's not an easy decision all the time. It might not even be a popular decision amongst your friends or amongst your family, because a lot of times people want you to do what they want you to do, and they don't want you to move forward in a direction that is better for you, because it brings you closer to God. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know what your life looked like this morning, but I know we serve a God who is worthy this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I know we serve a God who will welcome you with open arms this morning. He will allow you to be able to move forward. Think about this earthly father. He says he saw his son afar off. That means he was looking. He was looking. And when the son came home, he was expecting something different. He wasn't expecting to be greeted by a father who would hug him, drop down to him, welcome him back into the fold. Jesus is ready to do that for you this morning. So I don't know where your life is this morning. I don't know if you need to make a return to God this morning. But I'm going to ask that you close your eyes. I'm going to ask that you think about it. I want you to really give yourself a reflection this morning on what you need to do. If you need to do something different this morning, I want you to think about it. Only you know your life. You know your life. Stay. Every knee will bow.